So, it's been a while. For those who are tuning in the first time, I attempted a couple years ago to start a podcast. Now, I also started a master's program and I got a little bit busy. So, there's that. But for those who are tuning in for the first time, or those who've listened to my episodes before, this podcast is called Modern Fable, which is the whole idea behind it is stories about modern times, lessons that we could learn from things. I've been testing out a lot of formats before, and I would like to do that again. But for the moment, I'm not making any promises, because the moment I start making promises, I don't think I'm going to be able to keep them. So for right now, I just want to have a little bit of fun, record my friends and family, and kind of move forward with that. So without further ado and a 2-year break, I'd like to bring you to the 4th episode of Modern Fable. Now, that might not seem like I got very far, but I did do 6 test episodes before I actually started recording the main episode, so this is more of episode 10. But my point is that I'm here now, and I'm trying to do something about it. The other thing is that the site I originally started posting things on, I don't think exists anymore. I'm going to try to find a way to put them up on my blog, my normal blog that I write on a regular basis. That way people have access to them, and there's some sort of record, at least, that I have actually done them in the event that people find it interesting. But this episode, I actually wanted to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. Imagination games, for instance. I think most of us have memories of playing with our friends when we were younger in ways that, you know, now would make us feel silly. One of my fondest memories is being chased down the street by a horde of zombies and running into our fortress, which is my mom's car, to hold out in the event the zombies are everywhere, but then heroically run out with one of my friends to save the day. Now, there really wasn't a point to this. Obviously, there weren't zombies and hordes of them chasing after children in the street that, in a suburb of Los Angeles. But the fondness of the memory and the vividness of the events that happened have stuck with me for a very long time. And it's not just because it was silly and it was a good memory, but it's also because I think it turned me on to a kind of path of liking to do these types of games, being able to use your imagination for something that's maybe seems nonsensical on the surface, but is actually a lot of fun. I mean, all throughout my childhood, I really craved that. I was a huge fan of Lord of the Rings when I was younger, as well as other sci-fi and fantasy series. And I really feel like that allowed me to think outside the box, to believe in worlds that were beyond our own. And that kind of thinking has very much helped me, because it allows me to believe that maybe there's something more and not take these common sense things for granted. Now, I was also a fan of video games and using these types of movies, series, as a form of escape from my own reality. Now, that's not necessarily the best thing to do, but it really cultivated this idea that imagination is important, and what we do with it can equally play a large part in our own lives. I mean, think about problem solving. If we're imagining different scenarios, obviously that can help with that. Now, I want to show you how that kind of is important through the story of my own life. And I'm going to show you through my adventures through tabletop gaming. For those who don't know, I'm sure a lot of you do now, things that you play like Dungeons and Dragons or Werewolf the Apocalypse, the tabletop Star Wars game is very popular. And if I've already somewhat lost you because these are things you would never do, it doesn't really make any sense. Why would anyone do that? It's this for nerds or people who don't have a life. I want to kind of bring you into this fact that it allows you to really stretch your mind in some ways, and I'll explain that in a second. But before I do that, I want to say that these types of tabletop gaming, the rolling the dice, the playing with the fun characters, this is just a mechanism of imagination play. It's a much more structured way to do it, but it's nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, we do this all the time when we're watching movies or watching series. We imagine a world, we suspend our disbelief for just a moment and believe that maybe something exists. Now, there's varying levels of this. Like, if we're watching the Avengers, for instance, I don't really believe there's superheroes out there who have superpowers. And if there are, I will feel cheated. But that's beside the point. When I'm watching those movies, I suspend my disbelief. Now, an easier thing to believe is a lot of biopics, for instance. We assume that the actors are playing the role in an accurate manner, but there's always this suspension of disbelief on their part of believing this is what happened. This is exactly how the person would have acted, and maybe they really do embody the part. Now, depending on the level of this, it gets harder and easier. Heavy sci-fi and fantasy, like Lord of the Rings, sometimes are harder to get into, actually on the surface level, because you're like, why do I want to watch this really short guy walk with a ring of some sort of weird power across an entire world just because it's super bad? Well, what really draws you in for a lot of these things is not the weird premise that surrounds it, and I can honestly say some of these things are strange. But it's the fact that you get to play the characters, you get to suspend your disbelief and really involve yourself with the game. I'm going to take you, for instance, and I've used this example before with my friends. I mean, all you need to do is think about what you would do. And I'm going to take you through a couple steps, but imagine you were in a store and you're looking and you see the last box of macaroni and cheese. Now, this is a super exclusive macaroni and cheese that you just know that has a little prize inside that's going to give you mac and cheese for life. Cool. So you're very motivated to do this. You're very motivated to go get that box. But you see out of the corner of your eye, there is a mother with a child who's pushing it in a cart. You see her and you know she's eyeing the box as well. Okay. Question is what do you do? Now, obviously, the situation wouldn't happen or hasn't happened, but we can all have an idea of what would happen. And that's our imagination working, and this idea that we're extending a reality that doesn't exist or is parallel to ours because it's very similar, and we're only extending it a little bit farther. So, we take the next step. Okay, we do this all the time with emergency situations. When people walk into rooms and they check out all the doors, think about what they're going to do, scoping the lay of the land. Oh, if I was on this side of the room, I would exit through that door. Or if I was on that side of the room, I'd exit through that door. Or, you know, if there's a fire, I would duck under that table. Or if there's an earthquake, I would duck under this one. And guys do it all the time. If you've ever asked your friends, boyfriends, your husbands, or if you're a guy yourself, sometimes we just walk past each other, not that this would happen, and it's a form of sizing up, but you go, you know, I think it could take him. This is how. It's just this weird thing we all do. But again, this is just a sense of imagination. Now, my first experience with this was playing with my friends and one of my best friend's brother, and a group of people who are a little bit older than us, and we were playing this game called Werewolf the Apocalypse. Now, you have to understand, I have a lower threshold for nerd dumps, and something I've always wanted to get into, so hearing the words Werewolf the Apocalypse did not deter me. Now, Let me put it this way. We all sat around for a day, for a number of hours, creating characters based on these rules about being a certain werewolf, having these certain powers. And that's, and again, this is very strange, and you have to suspend your disbelief, but let me get there. And I created a character. It's one of my favorite characters I've ever created, because this is my first, and it's truly, like, near and dear to me. But his name was Holic. And I made this character, and I'm like trying to be a little bit more cheeky about it. And one of the things that you can do is just basically put points into how many resources he has, how wealthy he is, and able to get things done through material means, the houses, whatever. And so I decided to rank that all the way up and put stuff like common sense all the way down, just because I think it'd be fun to play that type of character, regal character coming from kind of the higher echelons of society, come down and solve a problem. Cool. So I have him dressed very dramatically. He's in a three-piece suit at all times. He has a butler named Jeeves. He carries around a sword in modern day. Don't ask me why, but it's just what I came up with. And we get on our first mission. We need to go to this place aptly named Scum Alley. And you're getting into this, and everyone's kind of nervous because they don't want to talk. We're all new to this kind of format, and so what ends up happening is we go outside. And the person running the game turns to me and goes, well, what do you really know about this pipe place? And I roll a set of dice, and I don't do well. And he's like, you have no common sense about Scum Alley, so what do you think you do? I put on gold cufflinks and a gold watch. Now, you have to, again, suspend your disbelief a little bit, but it ends up being a lot of fun. So I throw on this watch, I walk out of the door, and immediately right afterwards, someone steals my watch. It's kind of the logical next step in that scenario, but after that, I spend a whole adventure trying to go after my watch in this really seedy part of the city because I have no common sense whatsoever, and I miss the entire like plot of that next part of the campaign. But it's fun. And this character who I originally envisioned as this really serious kind of leader-like character ends up becoming both this fun character that I can play that literally has no common sense and money is no object, and so he just flaunts it around, but is really trying to do good in this world in his own way. He just doesn't understand how to do that and those kind of normal things you do around other people. I ended up playing Dungeons & Dragons. I had my first experience with it about, I'd say, 4 years ago now. And it was something I've been wanting to play since I was younger, a lot younger. But I never got around to it. You have to learn a set of games from a book, or rules from a book. And that's kind of daunting at first. But when you get around to it, you get to create these characters and stories. And ran the game as much as I've actually played it. And so as the person who runs the game, you create these adventures. And these adventures are not just about the fact that you have these warriors going up against a great evil. That's a large part of it, but if you're playing with a good team of people, you have this interplay of drama and revenge sometimes, and poisonous and character growth in a way that you wouldn't normally have in real life. It allows you to extend yourself and play these things that you wouldn't normally be able to do. Now, a lot of characters that you create are an extension of yourself, you know, an extension of who you are and who you want to be. But then you take sometimes these characters and you transform them in ways you've never thought possible. And they grow in ways that you never thought. And as long as you're willing to continue to move forward and roll with it, you have a good experience. Now, I have a lot of friends who've liked theater a lot, and it's very similar in that regard. Now, I think theater takes a lot more courage and a lot more practice because you have to learn lines and dramatic compose that you're going to be doing over the course of many weeks. But it's the same idea. It's that you're embodying someone outside of yourself. And there's something to that. It allows you to see things in a different way. Now, to moving back to the other end, why this might be important in the first place, why this might be interesting to people, is that there's a great benefit to being able to use your imagination. Let me explain it as a very personal anecdote. I work in psychology. Now, I am not a therapist in any way, and I'm not trained to be so. It's not my path. What I am is a social psychologist, and a social psychologist studies how people react in situations. Now, when you're doing this, a lot of the times you have to try to predict what factors may contribute to something. Take, for instance, a very old experiment. It's referred to as a conformity study. And if you were sitting in a room with five other people and you were asked to pick between, say, three lines, and to compare that to another line, and every one of those five people in front of you decides B is the answer. B is the line that matches the main line. But you know for a fact that the answer is actually C. What would you do? Now, the general feeling of these types of things is that most people would pick C, because that's the right answer and that's what they're asking for. But more often than not, people actually go with the flow, conform to the crowd, continue moving in this direction that doesn't necessarily make any sense. But being able to imagine what will happen, coming up with ideas about what will happen, it takes a lot of imagination. And it goes everywhere in my work. From creating posters, which is a little bit more artistic, to planning and studies and trying to accommodate to make sure that when you're explaining things to research assistants that you're covering as much as possible, so when they have questions in the future, there's some way to answer them. And that's not to say that there are other fields that don't benefit from this, but my point being is that having that imagination and willingness to suspend your disbelief a little bit goes a long way. I mean, how much fun would you have if you had to kind of walk around all day imagining the world as it is instead of what it could be? I spend a lot of time, you know, daydreaming. And that might not necessarily seem good from the outset, but thinking so much, imagining so much, has always prepared me in ways that I'm not necessarily expecting. I do a lot of problem solving through that, allowing me to see things that I wouldn't necessarily be able to see if I was thinking about everything logically and directly. It allows us to think abstractly. Now, I also want to point out that in all of the animal kingdom, we are probably the only ones who can imagine things, plan ahead, take the moment and make it different for everything. Now that leads to a lot of what ifs, you know. If you concentrate on this idea and continue looking into the past, it's not necessarily good for you. But that's not all there is. There's thinking about the future and planning, imagining, growing in that, and turning something that might be a fantasy at one time into a reality. Most innovators in this world use their imagination, and I don't think I have to argue with you to say that it isn't necessarily a bad thing. But imagination, just like all things, requires effort and practice. And as kids, we have a lot of that. We move throughout the world as if anything is possible. And I know people tend to feel like they should get jaded from these experiences just because, you know, life is tough. Because it is. It's difficult. Because out there in the world, there's a lot of things we have to take care of. But it doesn't necessarily mean you should neglect that side of yourself. It's a very important aspect of who we are as people. It allows us to continue to shift the world the way we want to, imagine things and move on those imagined things forward. I mean, imagine if no one believed that we can propel ourselves forward through the air. We wouldn't have planes. No one was going to accidentally stumble upon a plane. But someone has a vision, and that vision comes from imagination and a question. So, I don't think I need to convince you that this isn't a good thing, but being able to practice that on a regular basis is positive. Now, I'm not saying I'm advocating for D&D, which I probably should be, because it's a great game and a great format, and I've met a lot of great people through it. But it's more advocating the fact that you should allow yourself to believe, allow yourself to imagine just a little bit more. Now, before I kind of get to the end part of this episode, I wanted to leave one more kind of sillier anecdote about what exactly this is useful for. Now, a couple years back, I was off at college, and my sister lost the keys to her car. Now, it might be an interesting thing, especially for a lot of people. People do that all the time, but most of the time you don't go days without having found them. And my sister was going days without having found her keys. Now, I came back the end of that week to visit, and I talked with my sister. I stepped into her room, and I asked her just a couple questions about what she usually does with her keys, where she thinks it might have gone. And I literally put myself in that situation. What would have the logical last step? What the next step would be? Where would I put it? Where might it go? And for keys that my sister had lost for over a week, I found in a matter of minutes. It's fun. It's fun to be able to hold that over your sister, but it's also pointing the point of, like, if you can imagine things and imagine a logical step and flow, then you can use it for all sorts of things. Finding lost keys, figuring out where you might have put something, finding lost information or memories. It's all kind of overly encompassed in the idea of imagination. So, end all be all of everything is that don't let kids have all the fun. You know, playing with your imagination is important for all adults too. Before I actually go, some of these podcasts that I'm recording, I think I'm going to be talking a little bit more, not frankly, but more in depth about what the experience is with my accident and what's been going on. If I'm really get going, I might even have someone interview me about this accident and just common questions that people might ask about it. That's just one of the things, you know, it's a large thing, part of my life that I've been through in the last several months, and something that's worth cataloging, something that I find that people might want to know about, and just to talk about some of the aspects that I didn't get to writing on my own, just because it didn't feel like it would be good in that format. So, as I sign off today, I just want to say that I'm gonna try, if I feel like it, to do more of these episodes. Other people have told me that they like the sweet sound of my voice, so if this doesn't really pan out and the whole academia thing doesn't pan out, maybe I can do ASMR for a living. I hear it's paying pretty well. Anyway, I want to say thank you for listening, and I hope to, speak to you in the future.